As always, I appreciate the opportunity to share some things from God's Word with you this morning. And just like about 99% of the time when I give a lesson, it's the things that I struggle with, it's the things that I study, and the things that I want to share with you, because I feel like if I'm struggling with it, there's somebody else that's struggling with it too. And I appreciate the opportunity to do that with you, do that for you this morning. Appreciate the prayer on my behalf, and I too pray that the things that we have to talk about this morning are a benefit to you, they're edifying to you, that they're a help to you in your walk with Christ. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech, or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievance. What I just read is known as the First Amendment, the Constitution of the United States of America. And this Constitution, this amendment gives us what we, just about every time that we come together, we pray and we thank God for the freedoms that we enjoy. The freedom that we have to come and assemble like we are today. The freedom to live our lives in such a way that is pleasing to God. My question is, for Christians, is this a good thing? And I want you to think about that. That may be a silly question because of the freedoms that we know that we enjoy and how much we're thankful for those things. But is this a good thing for Christians, or is it something that's bad? Are there some things about this that help us in our purpose to serve Jesus and spread the gospel to those that are around us? Or are there some things about this that has hindered us in our purpose to serve Jesus? Now, I want to make myself perfectly clear. As I said before, I enjoy, I am thankful, I am so grateful for all of the wonderful blessings that we have, the freedoms that we have living in this country offers. Very thankful for that. Thankful for the opportunities that we have here in this country. I'm grateful that we can assemble together without fear and have collective worship the way that God wants us and intends for us to do. I'm thankful for that. My issue is simply this. Have we allowed the fact that our forefathers did not set up Christianity as a national religion to excuse us to not be busy about sharing the gospel? Do we use it as an excuse not to share the gospel? And that's where I found myself sometimes. We have established Christianity as for ourselves, haven't we? We've established Christianity as a religion for ourselves. We worship God as the God of creation for ourselves. But at the same time, you know what? We think it's okay for others to do something completely different. We think it's okay for everyone to go and worship as they choose. We think it's okay for everyone to go and worship whoever they choose. Because we live in the land of the free, the home of the brave, right? We live in America where we have all of these freedoms. People have the right to whatever religion they want to choose and assemble and worship the way that they want to. And as a result of this, guess what? We have all kinds of different religions here in the United States, don't we? Church of Elvis. about that. Some crazy things where people go and worship other gods other than the true and living God. And it seems as though we have gotten, or maybe it's just me, it seems as though I've gotten complacent. It seems as though I've gotten comfortable in the freedoms that I enjoy. Complacency. I looked up the definition, and that is satisfied with the current situation and the unconcern, and being unconcerned with changing it. Often to the point of smugness. And I find in myself that I've truly been complacent at times. Well, they're going to do what they're going to do. People are going to be people. It seems as though we've gotten comfortable, too comfortable in our freedoms here. And even though that we believe in Jesus Christ and He is the only way to salvation, you know what? Sometimes we just believe, we don't want it to be so. We don't want it to be true. For the sake of our fellow Americans. I mean, even Paul wrote this. Romans chapter 9 verses 1 through 5 says, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh, who are Israelites, who pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises, whose are the fathers, and of whom as concerning the flesh Christ came, who is over all. God bless forever. Amen. So Paul here, he says, you know what, he has great sorrow in his heart for his kinsmen, those of his nationality, those who were Israelites, those were the Jewish nation, those who had received the law, who had served God for generations, who had received the promises of God, who knew those things, who knew of the coming of Christ, but he was heavy-hearted. Because they rejected Christ, who out of this nation that he sorrows for, Christ came. That's where Christ came from. People of his own nation, his own kinsmen who rejected him, rejected Christ. Look at John chapter 1, verses 11 through 13. It says, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So not only did they reject Jesus to the point of killing him on the cross, but also they persecuted those that accepted Jesus, didn't they? Putting them in prison, beating them, putting them to death. And despite those persecutions, despite the horrible things that they endured, the Christians of Paul's time, guess what? They were bold still. They continued on. Going and teaching and preaching the gospel of Christ. Despite the persecution, the horrible things that they might endure, even to the point of death. Remember Romans chapter 9, verse 3, we've read. But Paul says here, he says, you know what? I'd give up my own salvation for them. If it were possible, I'd do it. Isn't that something? I give myself. I give my life for that. He would have given up his own life for those that hated him, for those that wanted to put him in prison, and for those that even wanted to kill him. Can you think of somebody else in the Bible that went through that? People that wanted to hurt him. People that wanted to hate him. People that wanted to kill him. Jesus. Isn't that something? And Paul says here that he would do the same thing. He would give his life for them, his kinsmen. Are we to the point where we would give our lives for our kinsmen? Those of the nation of the United States of America? Or we just live and let live, right? You do you, I'll do me. Do you have a right? Constitution says so. First Amendment. We are so blessed to live in a place that allows us to worship God the way that God wants to be worshiped, in spirit and in truth, who are able to go about freely and speak the gospel of Christ. And I'm not just talking about here in this building. We can live it. We can live a life of worship in such a way that is pleasing to God without fear. There's no persecution. There's no threat of being put in prison. There's no threat of being killed. Not here in the United States of America. But despite all these conveniences and the freedoms that we have, we fail to do the things that we're supposed to do. Isn't that funny? How do you think Paul would have responded in his day if he had all of these freedoms? Without having to worry about whether he was going to get beat today, whether he's going to get thrown in jail today, or if somebody's going to kill him. And you know what? I don't think he worried about it one bit, even though it was a possibility. But I think today, if he was here today, he would go around about preaching the gospel of Christ every single day until his voice just, he couldn't speak anymore. He'd lose his voice every single day. I don't know that to be true, but I think that might be true if he were here today. I look at Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 3, starting, pardon me. Ephesians chapter 3, starting in verse number 14 says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened I lost my place. To be strengthened with the might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." I can just imagine and hear the voice and the passion in Paul's voice as I read this. Pleading and praying for people to know Jesus and the gospel of Christ, to know the salvation that has been made available to us through Christ Jesus, who does not wish for any of us to perish And I believe with all my heart, Paul didn't want any of us to perish either. It wouldn't be here. Written out plainly for us to read. God does not want us to perish. Look at Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 32. For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith the Lord God. Wherefore, turn yourselves and live ye. God doesn't want us to perish. We have all of these benefits and none of the persecutions. And yet we are afraid. We are still afraid. Afraid to tell the people that they need to turn to Jesus. Because God doesn't want you to perish. Maybe we're afraid of hurting people's feelings. Maybe we're afraid that people will be angry at us. Or maybe we're afraid that people will make fun of us. Maybe we're somehow ashamed. Like I said, we just wish it wasn't true. Maybe we think we have to apologize to people for what we believe. You ever thought about that? I'm sorry, but that's just what it says. Why am I apologizing? Romans chapter 1, verse 16, we all know very well. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. That brings on a whole new meaning, doesn't it? When you read it that way and you think about it that way. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also the Greek. He's like, you know what? It's not okay for you not to know the gospel of Christ. It has the power of God to salvation, and I'm not ashamed to tell you. I want to tell you the truth. Are we apologetic and ashamed at times? Guilty. Paul fought the good fight his entire life. He may have gotten weary at times. He may have gotten tired and weary, but he never gave up seeking those out that could be saved from hearing the gospel of Christ, those that needed to hear. And we should be the same. I found this very interesting. Luke chapter 15, verses 4 through 7. What man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he come home, he called together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons, which need no repentance. Well, how about us? How does that apply to what we're talking about this morning? When some people are lost, when they turn their backs on the church, Jesus, when people leave the church. And I've heard others say this, and I'm very guilty of it myself. Another thing yet that I'm guilty of. They say something like, well, I pray that God will allow them to see the truth, and, you know, they'll come back to Jesus, they'll come back to the church and be with us again. I've said it, and you may have said it too, and you probably heard somebody else say it. We say it in our prayers. And I'm not saying that's a wrong thing to hope for. But sometimes I think it just makes us feel better about ourselves. Allows us to sleep nice and sound at night, when it should grieve us to no end when we lose a brother and sister to the world. And we should never give up on them, but we continue and try to reach them and reason with them so that they might repent and return to Jesus. Look at what Jesus says in verse number 5. Jesus. We're in Luke. That's Jesus. Look at what he says in verse number 5. And we have found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. The lost sheep didn't have the strength, did he? The one that was lost, the one that went astray, he didn't have the power of its own to make it back to the flock. His owner had to pick it up and put it across his shoulders and carry it. And he did it rejoicing. Sometimes we just think, you know, that's too much work. Do we think that lost sheep's not worth it? But no, we're content to allow people to leave and just hope that they never find, or that we hope that they find their way back. That they find their own way back. After all, you know, we live in the United States of America, right? We all have the freedom to make our own choices and live the way that we want to. You do you, I'll do me. Live and let live. Listen, us as Christians who just so happen to live in the United States of America, we cannot be a respecter of just any old religion. We can't. And I want you to think about, what if Buddhism was the national religion in the United States of America? What if Hinduism was the national religion in the United States of America, and everybody was forced to do those things? What then? We'd be back in like Paul's time when, guess what? He went around still boldly teaching and preaching the gospel of Christ. But it's not that way here, is it? It's not that way. But yet we still are complacent. Even though there's only one way to the Father, and that is through Jesus Christ, we're content with everybody just doing the things that they want to do. Worshiping the way that they want to worship. John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. People deserve to know this. And it should grieve our hearts to no end that our countrymen here in America, in the United States of America, are lost. Knowing how hard our forefathers worked to make this a God-fearing nation built on godly principles. It should grieve our hearts to no end. And I'm not talking about an allegiance to any kind of a nation or earthly organization. I'm talking about people. I'm just talking about souls. Here. And we should have a love for those that are lost that cause us to do just like Paul. And even in the face of persecution, go about endlessly spreading the gospel of Christ. Because it has the power to save their souls. We have a First Amendment of the Constitution of the United States, and it gives us great freedoms. It gives us great security. We should use it. We should utilize it and not be complacent. Not be content to just allow people to live their lives and, you know what, we'll live ours. You leave me alone, I'll leave you alone. We as Christians should be very thankful, should be very grateful for all the freedoms. But at the same time, we cannot allow those freedoms that we enjoy to make us complacent. That's all I have for this morning. There's a need that you have that you'd like to bring before the congregation. If you found yourself in a situation like this and you like the prayers of the church, we're here to pray for you. And I want you to know I need your prayers too. Not just for sickness, but for this. We all need it. If you haven't become a member of the body of Christ and would like to obey the gospel of Christ, death, burial, and resurrection, obey him in baptism and become a child of God, we urge you to do that also. Come forward and stand as we stand and sing the song that's been selected.